You're listening to the APSE Podcast, the Association of People Supporting Employment First, with your host, Chris Davies. Today's podcast is brought to you by Reach for Resources, a nonprofit providing individualized, competitive employment services for people with disabilities. We believe our community is a better place when it is inclusive and everyone, regardless of ability, has the chance to be successful. Learn more at reachforresources.org.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Minnesota APSE Podcast, Season 4, Episode 2. I'm your host, Chris Davies. So excited to have Dupree Edwards as our guest today. Hello, Dupree.
Hello.
Dupree is a really dynamic individual. He's a teacher, advocate, a motivator, a recording rap artist, you know, among other things. And we're very excited to have him and get into conversation with him in just a moment. As many of you may know, I'd like to give an overview of what National APSE, Minnesota APSE, is all about for anybody that might be watching this and have never heard of us. So the Association for People Supporting Employment First was founded in 1988. Currently, we have 38 state chapters, including, you know, the great state of Minnesota. And we are the only national membership organization that truly advocates for employment first, for integrated, competitive employment for all. And we have been doing this podcast now for 4 years. And once again, very excited to have Dupree Edwards with us today. I'd like to start out with some visual descriptions, Dupree, and I can start. So I am a white male. I am 55 years old. I am balding, or you could say bald. In fact, I shaved this morning, Dupree. So you're looking at about 2 hours of growth. You know, wow. this is fresh stuff right here. Yeah. And I have a red beard. Today I'm wearing blue jeans, a blue vest, and a blue button-down shirt.
Yeah, thank you for that introduction, Chris. Glad to be here on the APSE Podcast. Yeah, as you say, I'm Dupree Edwards. I'm the guest today. He gave a wonderful introduction. My visual is I have a blue beanie on with a black, you know, a hoodie with a black goatee, and I'm African American, and yeah, I'm glad to be here today.
All right, great. Thanks so much. Well, let's get into it, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Whenever we have a guest, Don Dupree, the first thing we just like to know is just a little bit more about you. You know, your personal background, even growing up, your family, things like that. So, lay it out for us.
Well, I was conceived in Minnesota, but I was born in Battle Creek, Michigan. And then I was raised in Minneapolis, until about, 1998. Then I went to, Arizona for 6 years, and I came back, to Minneapolis in 2005. And stayed here ever since. And, so the timeline of my age, so I was born in Michigan, came back as a baby, stayed, until Minneapolis until I was 8 or 9. And then when I came in the summertime, I just turned 10, in 1999. So yeah, it was really good. Yeah. And then when I came back from Arizona, in 2005, I was just about to turn 15 years old. And, my journey is, as I've been in this business, waiver services, the waiver services when I got an adult, but, been in this business ever since I was a young, like 15, 14. But all things about me, I'm outgoing. I like to watch movies. You know, I'm very talkative, as you know. And like you mentioned earlier, I am a recording artist. I'm very talented in the performing arts. I'm very gifted. I could act. I could dance. I could sing. I could do it at a high level. But it's really good to really talk about myself and introduce it. And like you said, I am a strong advocate. I believe in what we're talking about today and what we're going to talk about today. And I worked hard to really get to where I am at today. So I'm really excited to talk about my journey as we continue this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for laying that out, you know, for us. And, yeah, we're going to really focus on, talking about employment, and we're also going to focus on, advocacy and your music. I'm really excited, you know, to get into that and kind of learn more about that, pick your brain. But let's start with the employment side. As you know, ABSI is all about employment first, as I know you are too.
Yep.
Maybe talk a little bit about your work experience from the beginning and what led you to the things that you're doing now. You're doing some pretty cool things.
Yeah. Well, as we were discussing off camera, I graduated from Transition Plus Minneapolis, June of 2011. I was in the process of going into a day program, which they brought up shelter workshops. And for me, I went to take some valuation tests, to talk about my job deployment to see, okay, what my skills, am I good at stocking? Am I good at being on time? Am I good at that? And then it did an opportunity partners did a whole evaluation on me because I wanted to show them that I'm not going to go into some type of production to do piecework. So I was motivated to get a job. And that what opportunity partners told me is that you had to have like a valuation for other programs to try to figure out if you don't qualify for shelter workshops. And so, my evaluation was a hit with LifeWorks, was a hit with, you know, the program that I am in now with Opportunity Partners, with all these CIP. But I went there, they didn't have any jobs for me. Opportunity Partners, they said I had to start on the floor. It was going to take a little while to get there. And then the last place I toured was Partnership Resources Incorporated, known as PRI. And this lady, the director of employment services at that time, offered me three jobs on the spot, you know. And I think the one that I liked the most was the office job, which I thought I would get. And then a couple of days later, or maybe a week later, she called me back and said, hey, this lady is about to go to a different job. Would you like to work at this hair salon?
Oh.
You know, and the rest was history. And, then after I graduated, I started, went to an interview process. I did a trial run to show the hair salon what my skills were and everything. And then I went for a formal interview and then I got it with these tall, beautiful ladies named Gina and Jesse. And then they gave me, and it was start, and I was young. I was younger than the lady that they just hired. And they were so excited to have a young man with a lot of energy. I was very hyper. You know, you probably wouldn't want to know that, Dupree, but it worked out very well.
I can relate. I was a very excitable young man myself.
Yeah.
So you were probably about 22 when you started at the salon, huh? Is that about right? Or 21 maybe?
Yeah, 21.
21. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you're working at the salon and then you spent, 7 years,
6 years.
I believe Lunds and Byerly's, is that right?
Yep, Lunds and Byerly's after.
And how did you get?
I resigned from Hair District. I went there. Then I stayed at Lunds and Byerly's for 7.
Okay, how did you get connected to Lunds and Byerly's?
Well, through PRI.
Okay.
You know, what you guys do right now, as you guys are basically what his job is, they just find jobs like the business, customized mm-hmm. employment. Then we were trying to find these different jobs because, but Luns and Byerlys was the last thing that happened, and they were the one that hired me, and it was the right time for that right place. But the ideal place for people, which customer service wasn't really, really my dream job. I mean, PRI just thought that that would be the best thing because I'm a people person.
Okay.
You know, and so I went to the interview, but I got the job, and it was a first couple of rough weeks or maybe months because I was dealing with some other personal stuff that was going on. But by the time that I got better, and I've been there ever since, seven years until, you know, this past November.
Okay. And would you say that while you were working at Luns and Byerlys, very successfully, I might add, did you feel like there's something more for me in the work world?
Yeah. In the third year, I wanted to have another job, and that's where Upstream Arts came in. And I went to their couple of classes, and they invited me to this Moth workshop, and I just felt like they had me in mind. I felt like they wanted to work with me and hire me and do that. So I set up I called them and I said, hey, I'll have a proposition for you. A lot of ideas I wanted to bring to them. But also I really wanted to ask for a job because they were thinking about me for a while. And, I went there. I met with, one of the co-founders, Julie Guidry, and, went there. Her husband, Matt Guidry, wasn't there because he had somewhere else to go, but we sat there. She said she'll think about it. And then maybe like a month or month or so, they called me and said, hey, we would like to hire Dupree. And then check this out. It wasn't just for a teaching artist. They created a job for me to work in their office every Friday to do some gear stuff, to get the prepare for the classes and do all that. So they created this job.
Sounds like it was very customized for you.
It was customized. I mean, it was a very customized thing. And I did that up until, you know, COVID hit. And even if it did COVID hit, I think they were thinking about getting away from it before. Okay. But that's how I got there. And I've been there for, 5 years.
And you are, from what I understand, a teaching artist. Yeah.
Yep.
So really, it sounds like a great way to combine so many different skills that you have in a really meaningful way.
And that's my first dream job, you know, working in the arts and doing something that's close to my talents.
Right on. So how did you, I understand you're working for Institute on Community Integration right now.
Yep.
And how did you end up there?
Well, I know this is kind of later in the show, but I'm on the ARC board of directors. Mm-hmm. And this lady, Rachel, and I was trying to quit Luns and Byerlys because, you know, I was developing, you know, knee, and I couldn't really stand anymore. So I was come to her and I asked her, like, do you have any openings for a job? And she said she works with, do things on positive behavior supports. And I was very familiar with positive behavior supports because I did a training back in 2013, with some staff with the organization to teach them about that. So,
was that through Upstream?
No, it was through a training, one of the training group homes that they sent me to.
Okay.
And so it was the first time because they felt like I could train staff and, you know, talk.
Sure.
Which I, which I felt I learned a lot in 2013 because that's when positive behavior supports, they were getting rid of restraining.
Right.
You know, at that time and, trying to be physical and forceful and things like that.
So, is that when 245D came into play about?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And so, so anyway, I just, went to her and I say, hey, I could be your office assistant. I could do all that. So I send her my resume. They hear back for a little while, maybe close to the end of August.
Sure.
And then she came back and we had an interview and she told me, she said, hey, you know, I just don't think fouling and stuff is for you. I think you could help and be on my team and work and get some self-advocacy, live experience. And yeah, it's, and then, it was a while before they figure out the paperwork and I finally got the call, that I was gonna, you know, get hired to be a part of the Institute of Community Integration as a self-advocate. And, it was my dream job because I wanted to work in the disability community. I wanted to do something because I was really passionate about it. I went to classes, you know, I went to advocacy. I've learned and study about this because I've been in this business for a long time and I know what it do to give back and help those people, those individuals in the future. So.
Right.
And it's really good. I've been there, ICI for almost, 4 months now.
Okay. Very good. And it sounds like things are going well.
Things are going well.
That's good. Well, they're lucky to have you.
Yeah.
You are definitely a mover and a shaker. And while you've been doing all of those things all along the way, you've also been, a rap artist.
Yeah.
And you have a really unique, claim to fame in my mind, among other things. You're very talented. I've listened to a couple of your songs over the last couple of days. But since we were talking about 245D a minute ago, you are the only person I know, maybe the only person in the world that wrote a rap song around, the rights that are listed in 245D. Yep. Can you tell us how that came about?
Well, I guess it came from the governor's DD council.
Okay.
And I was doing a lot of things in scenarios and the lady that was producing the videos and stuff like that wanted to say, hey, you know, what if we did like a rap, a hip hop thing about 245D, Bill of Rights. And, so I went to my producer, Light Lord, and we came up and create the Bill of Rights. And we took the points from the Bill of Rights and tried to make it, you know, like privacy. And the main thing is you have rights respected. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the, that's, it's more of like a chant, you know, than like a rap. It's more like,
right,
to somebody to say, if you feel like you're being maltreated or you feel like you're violated of your rights, you just tell that person that, you know, it's my rights respected, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's what it kind of came about, everything. Now, would I think of that on my own? I mean, probably. I mean,
oh yeah.
You know, it's, and I'm glad that the DD Council, you know, came up with the idea and we just made it happen. And, you know, my producer who wrote the songs for me and, we came up with some ideas and yeah, first of all, but actually they cut out, the most part of the song that I wrote to make it to the, to what they were trying to say.
Okay.
But yeah, it's great. Thank you for, you know, listen, I hope it, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people came to me and say, hey, I think it's awesome that you did that. It was really good. It was, it's all over the world. They're using it in trainings. They're using it on videos, online, everything, which is really good. And, you know, I'm a gospel artist. So that's mm-hmm. definitely, you know, spreading the gospel and helping people understand their mission and do a good deed.
Yeah.
And, a ministry. That's what Light Lord says. It's a ministry that I wouldn't do that just because I want to do that. I do sure. that because I'm helping the people understand what the Bill of Rights is and 245D Bill of Rights is.
That's fabulous. What year was that produced?
2023.
Okay, so just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Or a year ago. Yeah.
Yep, last May, right before, last April, right before I went to,
okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
When I went to vacation.
Yeah. Well, I loved it. And, just for the audience, to know, Dupree has given me permission to use it if ever I need to talk about, the Bill of Rights under 245D. He's given me permission to play his video, his performance. So it was fantastic. And I want to hear more about how you got connected to your producer, Light Lord, but I'd like to start a little more, at the beginning. You know, when did you start songwriting? When did you know, say, that light bulb go off? I'm good at this.
Well, every time I try to work on my craft, my first love is singing. You know, I wouldn't think I'm a real strong singer because I definitely need work to polish it. But I was at my, you know, old group home and apartment, and one of the staff came because he was a rapper. He told me, he said, "Hey, why would you just bust a little freestyle?" Mm-hmm. And I bust a freestyle. And he's like, "Wow, it sounds good. How'd you know how to do that?" And so maybe a couple months later, I brought a Pro Tools audio, M-Audio.
Okay.
And everything. And I just recorded my first freestyle. And it was good. I started to be good. I started to work on my craft.
Sure.
And,
how old were you at this point?
21.
21. Okay. Yep.
Yep.
Very good.
And yeah, it was really good. My voice, it wasn't the fact that I could rap, but it's my voice sound good. Mm-hmm. My voice was like very, very crisp.
Yes.
It almost sounded like Drake. It almost sounded like Lil Wayne. It almost sounded like Jay-Z. And I was just like, wow, this is good, yeah. You know? And, so I just kept getting better. But first of all, I just did freestyles and things like that. And then I started, my first song that I really did a lyrical thing to is this song called Story.
Okay.
And, that's what I really practiced my abilities to really rap. Because the other freestyles, I really wasn't putting any serious lyrics to. But Story was my first test of what my lyric ability is. And some reviews I got on there was the wordplay.
Okay.
You know, I could do wordplay without rhyming.
Right.
You know, which is right. Really good. And I don't know who.
And that's a real gift. That's a skill.
Yeah. So,
that it sounds really like, you know, just in what I've heard you say is that you have this gift, you know, I mean, you work on your craft, but at the same time, a lot of it seems to come naturally to you. Would you say that's true?
I say it's true. You know, I would tell you what, I just, you know, this microphone, I could do anything on it. I could, it feels like it's, you know, what I felt like the world was against me back in the day. You know, I relied on this microphone, you know, to take out my anger, to, you know, to talk about my issues, to write it down, because I felt like, you know, this microphone was my best friend. And I feel like if I'm on this microphone, back in those days, people could listen to me. People could understand what I was, because they didn't listen to the Dupree that was off the microphone, but they listened to the Dupree that's on the microphone. So, that's what, in those times, that's what I really, really cherished the most, was I always eager to get on the microphone because that's where they listened to me.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, the way you're describing it feels like you're at home with the microphone. Yeah. You know, that when you hold it, you're in a real natural state.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is evident not only in this interview but in listening to you and listening to your recordings. Very powerful. You are absolutely right. Your voice comes across very professionally, like this is not just some kid in his basement trying something out. It's a professional hip hop, you know, rap song, yeah, with some real powerful imagery. And you had mentioned you're a gospel. Do you refer to yourself as a gospel hip hop artist, a gospel rap artist?
Kind of a gospel hip hop artist.
Okay. So when did that really take hold that you knew that that's what you wanted to be?
Well, like all the other songs, I never cussed in my music. I try not to downgrade women or talk about parties or drugs or anything. And clean rap wasn't really getting a lot of attention, you know? And so when I met Lightlord at this family day in 2019, you know, at first, I mean, I knew he was doing gospel, but I didn't know that he was just doing just gospel. And so I sent him some of my songs and stuff like that. And, he called me back a long time. And, he called me back and said, you know, I don't write that type of music. I write gospel music. And I'm like, and it was a real shift because, you know, I was hesitant at first.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
because I know that I wasn't really, even the music I was doing, I know I wasn't hurting nobody. I know it wasn't the devil that I was doing. I know I was sending a positive message,
sure,
doing something for my voice in a positive way. But then you want to shift to the anointment and try to talk about the message of the gospel, you know? And I just thought it was a big shift, you know, to really do it. And then when I met Lightlord, we wrote our first song, you know, My Testimony. He just made me feel, and that's what My Testimony is about. Like, let me get the feet wet before we write other songs about, you know, the Lord. And just talk about your testimony, talk about your story. And then once I talk about my story, then the other beautiful gospel stuff will come. You know, which My Testimony is a gospel song, but it's more of my story telling people that.
And, right, right. Yes.
You know, so it was a big shift because you have to serve him. You have to be coupled with the ministry when you do it. You have to be anointed. So how can you be anointed when you're rapping? You know, because first of all, you got to be the powerful. You just can't just rap just the way you want to rap. I tried to, and what I found out, you know, through this journey, I'm on my fifth song already.
Okay.
So, what I found out through this journey is that God really tests me with the ministry. Tried to make sure, hey, this is the way I would like you to do it. This is the way I want to do it. And just try, because every time I used to be on the microphone, things just come naturally where it just goes there.
Sure.
But in this ministry, it doesn't go the first time. You have to be like, no, this doesn't sound good. You have to work on it. And then my producer, it was just so hard to, because I was telling him that everything comes natural. And I know, mm-hmm, I do it right the first time. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know how many takes that I've done on all the songs that I wrote, yeah, that God wrote for me. But it turned out to be good. And I remember all the words. One thing I like about Lightlord is, he makes me think about memory. Reason why sometimes I get frustrated at him because I want to read off the thing,
right,
because you know, professionals, they read off the script. But he said, no, I want you to read by memory. And the reason why is that this is gospel music. This is,
sure,
like, you're supposed to come off, you know, the dome, mm-hmm, of different ways. So it's not like I'm writing another song, but it was really good because it helped my memory memorize a lot of things because I felt like my memory wasn't good. So it really, you know, developed my brain to remember, mm-hmm, songs and everything. So, it was really good. Me and Lightlord Records did a lot of good things together. We have a lot more things to come. You know, I'm working on my album. You know, like I said, we're just going to release my fourth song on May 19th, look out for it. It calls Keep Sipping,
okay,
on the Holy Spirit. And we're going to release it on the day of the Pentecost, 50 days after the Pentecost. And the video is going to come out too. And it's going to be featuring Lightlord. It's going to be like a kind of a rap, kind of thing because we're singing the chorus together and it's really powerful, powerful song. So hopefully you guys go out and buy it when it comes out. It's going to be on all platforms, Amazon, Music, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, you know,
and
all these types of
and
stuff.
I noticed you could, become a member of yours on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Right. And yep. Then if you're a member, on Bandcamp with Dupree Edwards, any new music that comes out will be sent your way. Is that yep. right? Is that yep. how it works?
Yeah. Right where we get, mm-hmm. by Keep Sipping. And I would do prayer on there too.
Okay. I listened to prayer this morning.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Prayer's on there.
Was that Light Lord on prayer with you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I thought I recognized a different, another voice.
This will be our second feature that we do together. Yeah. You know, and you never know, there might be more to come, but I think he really wanted me to have a solo album and just a couple of features
sure.
on there.
Sure.
But yeah, I think the rest of the album might be just me, but it was fun to do it with Light Lord because he helps me write these songs because, you know, I can't really do all the rhyming, but he helps me with a lot of those things. And, you know, it's really good. I mean, I'm really blessed to be a part of it. And, you know, I just can't wait to continue, spreading the gospel with him.
Yeah. It sounds like a really great partnership, you know, for you, for both of you. And, that really is sort of in its early stages in a lot of way. It's going to be fun to see how you two continue to work together over the years here. Do you have a goal of getting out and performing, you know, more on stage, if you will?
Yeah, we're working on that. I think they're trying to figure out a direction they want to go with their music, by producers, you know, and they're trying to think about that, but shows will come. Because they just have to think about what's going on.
Right.
And try to get the product and finish the mm-hmm. product and stuff like that. But it's coming. But we did do, a performance at a church for, a donation to have a heart transplant, and things like that. And we did some, other stuff to perform and everything. So we're getting to it, but we just have to, We're working towards it. I think that if we put out this music, because nobody really like heard us yet. So if we put out the music, we're going to make sure we get there and people are going to listen to our music and we're going to inspire every soul, that we need. And one thing about Light Lord, I think Light Lord, why we click so much is that the music, the rap music that he's, the hip hop music that he's writing, he's just wants to say, hey, I need somebody that's going to, you know, push my songs or push my message. And, you know, so I'm better, you know, like to do that for him. And, you know, cause of one thing unique about his music is it's actually like a contemporary song, but you just rap it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, a singer can sing, he's wonderful. A singer can sing, he's my testimony. A singer can sing prayer if they want to.
Right.
You know? Right. But it's really good. I really hope the future for that is good. And I think, you know, it's gonna work out.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're both really good for each other.
Yeah.
Like you're combining, you know, some of your strengths and his strengths into a real unified effort. Yeah. It's exciting. So do you ever, when a new song idea comes to you, you know, what's that typically like?
Well, when you're a gospel artist, it's all the spirit of the God. It's all the spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. The spirit comes to you and it just speaks to you and it has to speak to you because you just can't write songs just to write songs. The gospel, how gospel works is they come up with the anointing and the spirit of gospel music. And so you have to, and it's just like that in hip hop, you know? And so that's how we try to approach, the writing is, just come up with it. And usually, you know, Light Lord comes up with the idea and say, hey, the Spirit spoke to me about keep sipping, you know, the Holy Spirit. And I feel like it's a really good, you know, song for you, you know. And then I'm still thinking about that's how it came. And then He's Wonderful, you know, came up, you know, it's just the sure. Spirit, you yeah. know. So like I learned about gospel music, it has to be what the Spirit leads you, you know. Mm-hmm. You just, God writes the songs for you, you know. Yeah. And we just perform it, you know. Yeah. And I'm really blessed of what God has provided for this label and the music that we're about to embrace. And he's working his mysterious ways for us, and I really give him all the glory and for us, you know, putting this together. And God's working on the album for us. And I just go and just do the work and serve him.
Yeah, it sounds like you really open yourself up to be available to produce these songs, to produce these outcomes, that you sort of make yourself available. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I say yeah. that's accurate.
All right, cool. Very good, very good. Well, just want to circle back real quickly to something you mentioned earlier. You are also, among other things, you know, ICI, Upstream, all the gospel hip-hop that you are writing and producing with Light Lord, among all those other things, you also serve on the board of the ARC, yep. right, Minnesota. How long have you been on the board of directors?
It would be a year.
Okay, excellent.
And even though we're about to get a new leadership, I feel like I'm going to be on the board for a while, and whoever the next CEO will be, I think I would click very well with that person. So I'm not really, really afraid to not, you know, be able to be off the board and to change their mindset. I'm really confident that the new leadership will keep the momentum going.
That's fantastic. And my perception of you, and just getting to know you here today and earlier this week, is you could pretty much walk into any room and be comfortable and click with who's ever there. And that too is a real gift, you know? Sounds like you're really utilizing your gifts. Go ahead.
I want to tell you a story about that.
Great.
Because I would tell you what, I don't know what it is, but ever since I go to school, especially when I first got in high school in Arizona, I clicked with the jocks. I clicked with the nerds. I clicked with everybody, with the so-called stereotypes that you want to do. I talked to every single one of those stereotype people, and I fit in. They didn't judge me or nothing. And I'm just wondering, like, what about it that I've work with all these type of people, you know, because sometimes, you know, people look at you and they accept me because I just blend in real quickly. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it is a gift. I think it is a gift, and I think it tells my character and how I fit in with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it also got me in trouble a lot of times too, you know.
Yeah, you were saying that you used to, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but sort of overtake the microphone,
it got me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's like the friendliness that I think I'm talking about. I think it's just that the people, you know, I just have that clicking in, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. I'm glad you brought that up. I just want to tell a little backstory about that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you're really, I think, leveraging that gift in just beautiful ways, you know, to kind of change the world. I know one of the ways you're part of an effort that a lot of people are a part of to change the world is you've been very active in the efforts to phase out subminimum wage.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, your involvement, and kind of where things are at with you right now?
Well, Kapoja and PRI are the only one that doesn't offer shelter workshops. And so I've been living, well, since 2011, you guys have it. But I would tell you what, the reason why I advocate for this is because I'm a living proof of what competitive employment should be and could be in the future. And, I feel like everybody is able to work, and able to have a meaningful, job that they want to have. And I think the things that they really don't say in this bill is like customized employment. You know, if we could get customized employment on the topic of this, I think they will probably be a lot more, you know, concerned because they don't have to feel like people have to stay at home. You know, and we're not getting rid of the day services at all. You know, I think that's what they say on Capitol Hill. Are we going to get rid of the day services? We gave them 5 years, 5 years to 2028.
Right.
What is so wrong? 5 years. You got people to prepare to get you to phase out. The most example is Rise. You know, Rise is a big example of the phase out of what's successful. They're doing a lot of things, creating a lot of sites all over Minnesota to try to understand that they want to hire people by the business mm-hmm. and competitive employment. So I feel like a lot of people that want to do this, and we still have the funding to actually get these people to successfully phase out. But I just feel like it's going to be an ongoing battle, and I'm for it. You know, I feel like, you know, this is not the 80s and 90s anymore.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? This is a whole different world. It's not cute to be sitting up in those factories and doing piecework just to say, oh, wow, this people with disability, intellectual ability are doing something meaningful. And they're getting paid, just like everybody else and make a fair wage. And we're giving money so that the provider could actually make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, you guys could actually get contracts or, you know, get that business that you guys partner with to actually get them to get hired by the business. So.
Yeah. Sort of that technical assistance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, I just don't know what's going on the Capitol right now. I just, you know, the Senate is more against it than the House is, but it almost got amendment, last week. And I'm just like, whoa, you know, and that's what happened before they got the funding for it to go. So I hope it goes over the threshold, and we're not asking too much, you know, 2028, you know, that's 5 years from now.
Yeah. You don't have to sell me on that. That's for sure. Have you ever testified on the floor?
Oh yeah. I've testified.
I would imagine so.
Last month.
Okay.
No. Last month, I testified.
Yeah. Great way to use your gift as well. I just want to go back to something you said. I can't speak obviously for all employment organizations, but I do know that there are several organizations in Minnesota that do not have any sheltered work. And I know Kapoja actually, hasn't since the 90s. So, there are more and more, and there's so much work to be done, and I'm so glad you're a part of it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're going to kind of start winding down here. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. You ever heard the saying, sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission? So I'm going to ask for forgiveness because I'm going to take a chance here and put you a little bit on the spot.
Okay.
And, you know, when we sort of wrap up this podcast, we always like to know, you know, we always ask our guests, what are your hopes and your dreams, you know, for the future of employment, for everybody. And, wondering if you might be willing to share your thoughts in a freestyle. Would you be willing to do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see the future of employment and the disability services. I do feel like we are going to get that phase out. I do see that in the future. And I do see that everybody's going to be able to do what their dream job is. And I feel like nobody is going to be sitting at home waiting for a job. And that's what I feel like. Would it be in the next 5 years? Hopefully, you know, but I see that everybody would be able to work, whether you're in a wheelchair, whether you can't work, whether you can't do anything. People are going to get paid in some above minimum wage, you know, for the rest of the future. And we will still have day services, but we're trying to figure out what those day services will look like. But they still look like people that just doing activities, going on outings, you know, it could be different other stuff that people do. It could be life skills. It'd be cooking. It could be, you know, different opportunities and everything. So, you know, cause a lot of people today feel like those day services are still like a daycare type situation where you just go there and sit there and do that. So I feel like if we get this phase out going on and everything, I think we could be able to change the outlook on day services and, what it means to actually go to a day service where you're on your day off or when you're not working or when you want to go and socialize with some people. So I see it. I see it. I see it. I feel like the future of employment is bright and we're fighting every single day. Actually, we've been fighting for a long time for this to even happen. So, and I feel like, you know, people like the RISE program and other people are going to get on board with the situation and support it. So I feel like that's the future of employment.
Dupree Edwards, everyone. That was beautiful, beautifully stated. Anything else you want to share before we close out today? It's been such a pleasure to have you, Dupree. I hope that this is only the beginning, you know, for you and I. I hope we can stay in touch and I think you and I really are kindred spirits in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. And that wraps up episode 2 of season 4. Thank you everybody for joining us today. And I always like to remind everybody when I close out, Dupree, is that if you believe it, you can achieve it.